thank you for tonight. Thank you for this training center. Thank you for Apostle Thompson. Thank you for the vision that you've laid on his heart for this training center. Thank you for these students that are here present with me tonight in Darryl and those that are watching by internet. God, you know what you want to happen in this school. You know what you want to happen in the lives of every student that's participating. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us properly into the supernatural. So we yield to you tonight. Jesus, thank you so much for paying the price that gives us the opportunity to move into a supernatural realm, into another world that cannot be seen, but it can be participated in. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome. This is my first time with you all. Welcome. Just to give you a little brief synopsis of how my class is going to work, mine's going to be a little different. In our exams, you probably won't get true and false. You probably won't get multiple choice. You probably won't get fill in the blank. But you will have to read your chapters that we assign. And the reason why is, let me tell you why. The reason why I do it that way is because a lot of times we don't get a chance to cover material in class, but I still think the material in the book is important. Yes, and so it will cause you to read. If you can read, you can pass my class. If you have any problems with reading, I don't want that to be a holdback. That's not a problem. Let me know and I'll work with you. All right. Let me know privately or whatever and I'll work with you. But I'm an avid reader. I believe in reading. I believe a lot of people will say things to you, but when you read, you learn a whole lot more. Because when you read, your thought process gets to moving. Your life experiences are applied to what you're reading. And so you'll see things that other people won't see. That's how revelation knowledge comes. Revelation knowledge comes because your experience adapted or added to what's being read, and then you discover something. That's how God talks to us. That's how we get revelation knowledge. I receive. So that's how we get revelation knowledge, is by God speaking to us based on what we're reading. All right. What we're thinking about, what we're focused on. So I'm an avid reader. So our exams will be straight open book. If you can read, you won't have any problems with it. All right. Our book is Alliance of Honorable Men. Let me see your book real quick. Thank you, sir. This is the book you're supposed to have. I got my notepad, but this is the book you're supposed to have. Internet, that's the book you're supposed to have for this class, Alliance for Honorable Men. This book is going to change your life. I promise you. Not just because I'm teaching it. I read that. I'm not forced to read it, but I have to read it to prepare for class. But I read this book. I'm pulling something out of this book. I'm reading a chapter about every 2 or 3 months. I'm reading another chapter. Now, I've read this book about 4 or 5 times, and I'm reading it again, and I always get something else out of it. This book is going to teach us about covenant. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, covenant is not what you think it is. Yes, sir. I know I'm going to, in this class, we're going to break a lot of religious mindsets, thought processes, let me show you how far we're going to go in breaking religious mindsets. Even non-denominational religious mindsets going to be broken. All right. First of all, let me define what religion is. Religion is man's idea about who God is. That's what religion is. Man's idea about who God is. So out of religion comes denominations. Denomination is man trying to control who God is. That's why you have the Baptists. That's why you have Word of Faith. That's why you have Pentecostals. That's why you have Episcopalians. That's why you have Methodists. That's why you have Catholic. That's why you have whatever denomination you may. Then you got Foursquare. Then you got African Methodist Episcopalians. And nothing wrong, but that's just how denominations will develop. First, religion comes. Religion is man's idea about who God is.
Yes, sir.
And the denominations develop because man trying to control who God is.
Yes, sir.
So, and the problem with denominations, the problem with religion is they become stagnant.
Yes, sir. Right.
They don't go anywhere. They go in a circle and around, they get their set beliefs and they never go any further. So in this particular class, the lives of honorable men, you're going to go beyond religion. Some of your religion is going to be challenged. Some of your ideas about who God is going to be challenged. And then denominations are going to be challenged because we have to shift from denominations, from religion, from denominations, listen to them, internet, to kingdom. Kingdom. God's kingdom. God's kingdom. We're going to get to Matthew 6:33 in a moment. Kingdom. Kingdom is just a way of functioning.
Yes, sir.
A way of doing things. All of us have kingdoms. It's just the way we do things.
Yes, sir.
You have a kingdom. It's a way, it's a certain way your house is carried. It's a certain way, certain order you have in your house. You might not call it order, but it's certain things you do in your house. And if somebody come into your house and try to do it differently, you're going to stop them at the door. We can't do this differently. No, we're not doing it. This is my house. This is my kingdom.
Yes,
and so what happens is we keep that in mind. Keep that example. Now, what happens is we try to take our ideas and bring them into the kingdom of God. All right. So in order for us to truly understand kingdom, we have to understand covenant. Now, most of us, and because we're now international, we have international students that come from the Eastern Hemisphere. We live in the Western Hemisphere. People that live in the Eastern Hemisphere have a better understanding in covenant than we do here in the Western Hemisphere. All right. They have a better understanding. So a lot of things they hear me say, they will probably can expound on it more than I can, because I'm coming from a Western Hemisphere thought process, too. And I'm always endeavoring to relearn and to understand what covenant really is. Covenant is not an agreement.
Yes, sir.
That's what we was taught.
Yes, right.
Covenant is an agreement. No, covenant is much more than an agreement. An agreement says this: here are my terms in which I'm going to do.
Right.
Party A.
Right.
Party B says, okay, since you're going to do this, I'm going to do these things. So we agree that if you do this and you do this, we can come together. That's not how covenant works. Covenant says this. Covenant says, I'm going to do what I'm called to do regardless of what you do.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Come on. Yes, sir.
So what I do is not hinged upon what you do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what you do shouldn't be hinged on what I do. God is a God of covenant.
Uh-huh.
Listen to me. God is a God of covenant. God does, has done, is doing, and will do who he is regardless of what we do.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We don't get a chance to get to it later. God called Abraham, say, leave your mother and father. I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to make your father a nation. I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to take you to a place, and I'm going to show you, right? So Abraham left, Lot with him. Abraham got all he had and they left with him, right? Abraham left, went to land, famine hit.
Mm-hmm.
First thing Abraham did was run to Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Now, point number one, Abraham was in disobedience. So watch this. Here's my covenant. When Abraham became rich in Egypt, that was not the grace of God. Or that wasn't the power of God, that was the mercy of God. See, God's mercy came upon Abram because God's grace, watch this, grace does not work in disobedience.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm first night, so I might be saying a few words, and I want to set a tone. Let's define what grace is. Grace is not your ticket to sin.
Right.
That's not what grace is. In today's society, we have a lot of teaching going around about grace, and it's called hyper grace. About, hey, God, just go ahead and do it. He gonna forgive you anyway. Yeah, that's true. What people don't understand about grace is there to empower us. Grace, I don't want makes grace just, I can't make it this simple, but yet because something simple don't mean it's not powerful. Grace is this simple. Grace is simply an empowerment, period. So wherever you at in life, when you access the grace of God, it empowers you to go to another level. So if I'm in sin, grace empowers me to not be in sin. So grace is an empowerment. It's not a license for me to sin. Are you seeing this? So God's grace does not work in disobedience. He does not empower us in disobedience. The reason why he does not empower us in disobedience is because he'll be condoning our incorrect behavior. So when God caused Abraham to be rich, it was his mercy, not allowing to come on Abraham what should have come on Abraham, because he should have lost his wife. He should have lost everything he had, but he didn't. God caused a plague to come on Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh didn't find out this not your sister, this your wife. So he'll take your wife, take your stuff, and leave. All right. So Abraham left, coming to a point by the God of Covenant. Abraham left. Abraham then again, the second time, God had promised him a son. Him and Sarah start plotting again. Right. Sarah, we Bible students, Sarah said, here, take Hagar, my handmaiden. Do what you want with her. And then you're going to have your son that way, because I'm too old. I'm not going to be able to have your child. Only for it to work out that Sarah got say, no, this ain't going to work. She thinks she got on something around here. So you got to do something with him, Abraham. Are you seeing this? Two times. Turn me to Genesis, the 15th chapter. I want you to see what God told Abraham. Genesis, the 15th chapter. God is a God of covenant. In other words, God is going to do what he said he's going to do, regardless of what you do. So if I'm made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, right? If I'm made in the image of God, I must bring myself to that level that I operate just like God operates. In other words, I operate on a level of covenant in which I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, regardless of what everybody else does. Are you seeing this? Watch what God told Abraham in this 15th chapter. Now, mind you now, Abraham, Egypt, Abraham, you know, first of all, you know, really people try to judge Abraham, but we have to get off Abraham's back about the mistakes he made. Here's why. Can somebody tell me what Bible Abraham had? Abraham didn't have the Bible. What concordance did, you know, what version did he have?
None.
He had none. So here he's feeling his way through trying to seek God. Now watch this. Abraham made a mistake trying to do things, made a mistake, but here's what God told him. Genesis 15 chapter, the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's simply saying God telling Abraham, I'm your rapidly increasing money supply, period. My point about God being a God of covenant is no matter how many mistakes Abram made, God never left him. God will always remind him, Abraham, remember what I told you?
Yes.
Remember what I said I was going to do for you? Abraham will make these mistakes. God will come back to Abraham. Now remember, this is what I told you. This is what I said I'm going to do for you. I'm still here, Abram.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God is a God of covenant. He's going to do what he said he's going to do, regardless of what you're going to do. You may go your whole lifetime and never do one thing God wants you to do, but God is not going to leave you. He's going to stay right there until, watch this, you decide that you're going to do what you're supposed to do. God ain't going to leave you because you missed him last week.
That's right.
God is not going to leave you because you decided to make a right turn when he told you to make a left turn.
Yes, sir.
We have to become that same way with each other.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Wow. See, we know about covenant with God, but we don't know about covenant with each other.
Yep. That's the true monster.
Wow.
See, that's what this book is about. The alliance of honorable men. When I say men, I'm meaning women too. Alliance of honorable men, honorable people. People, the Lord spoke to me yesterday. He spoke to me yesterday. I was meditating. He spoke to me yesterday. He said this, you must be unpredictable to Satan.
Yes, sir.
Right? You must be unpredictable to your enemies. But you must be predictable to God. Hold up, I ain't finished yet. You must be predictable to your leader. Other words, your leader can make a decision in private quarters and almost know what you're going to do when he or she released those instructions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
That's covenant.
Wow.
You must be unpredictable to Satan. You must be unpredictable to your enemies. But you must be predictable to God and be predictable to your leader. Other words, God ought to be able to know what you're going to do before he gives you the instructions.
Yes, sir.
Now, because God is, he knows all, you know, he's all powerful. He's everywhere. He already knows what you're going to do. But watch this. You have to make up in your mind that I want God to know that he knows how I'm going to behave when a shift is made or when instructions are given. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
And so we have to be covenant minded. We have to be in a position to where covenant is no longer an agreement for me.
That's right.
Covenant is now a foundation for which I stand on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for reminding me this. You cannot walk in covenant with man until you make God your source.
Yes, sir.
And the reason why is because when you make covenants in the natural, you make an agreement.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you say, if you do this, then I'm going to do this.
Right. Yes, sir.
And so your advancement depends upon what the other person does.
That's the truth.
So therefore, then we as humans have a tendency to say, okay, she ain't did this, he ain't did this, so I'm not going to do this. But in kingdom, we can't think like that. We have to understand that I'm going to do what I'm instructed and God has called me to do, regardless of what anybody else does. Are you seeing this? See, this alliance of honorable men is going to teach us how to walk in covenant, how to be predictable to God, how to be predictable to our leaders. So therefore, when that happens, trust grows. When trust grows, responsibility grows.
Yes, sir.
When responsibility grows, reward grows.
Right. Yes, sir.
See, if you're responsible, the Bible says the Bible says in Luke 16, he that faithful in least will be faithful also that in much. But you got to be faithful in least.
Yes, sir.
Before you're faithful in much. How many see what I'm saying about covenant?
Yes, sir.
Let me redefine your definition of faith. Because a lot of people, I'm going to redefine it because, didn't I say I was going to mess with your religion?
Yes, sir.
I did say that, right?
Yes,
then I said I'm going to mess with your denomination, right?
Yes, sir.
Right, okay, so here I'm messing with it right now. Redefining faith. See, we've been taught faith based on a self-centric idea.
Uh-huh.
Not a God-centric idea.
Yes,
self-centric meaning everything revolves around me.
Right.
So my faith has always been taught to me that it produced what I want.
Yes,
right? Right.
Right?
Instead of looking at faith from a God-centric perspective.
Yes, sir.
My faith, and I'm about to prove it to you, my faith produces what God wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when I produce what God wants, then God takes care of me. Is that making sense?
Yes,
go with me to Hebrews the 11th chapter, because this is very important. Four times the Bible says the just shall live by faith. I think it's Habakkuk 2 and 4. Galatians 3 and 11, Romans 1, 16, and there's one more. I can't recall it right now. I think it's Habakkuk 2, 4, Galatians 3, 11, Romans 1, 17, and there's one more. Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 10, 38. 10, 38? Yeah, Hebrews 10, 38. All right, real quick. Galatians 3, 11, turn now. We'll go over real quick because it won't take time to. Okay, got 29 minutes left. Galatians 3:11, right? You there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and read it for me.
No man.
Come on, I don't care if y'all read out the turn, come on. The just shall live by faith, right?
Yes,
Hebrews 10:38. You can read, go ahead and read. If you got it, you got to read it.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
The just said, just shall live by faith, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? Romans 1, I think 17.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed mm-hmm. from faith to faith, and it is as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
That's three times, right?
Yes,
now. Go to Habakkuk 2 and 4. It's funny, the Old Testament says a little bit different. Habakkuk, I'm right. Habakkuk 2, 4. Go ahead and read it.
Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith, by his faith.
Thank you. I'm glad you did that. No, I know. I'm glad you did that. Because now we see there's another word been added.
Yes.
The just shall live by
his faith.
So that means that this faith thing becomes personal.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
Shall live by his. Let's break the word down. The just shall live. Live. Live means carry out the process of life.
Right?
So the just shall carry out their process of life by his faith. Right? 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to redefine faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4 says, the just shall live by
his faith,
right? Let me find the scripture I'm looking for. It's 1 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry, Romans 12. It was Romans 12. I'm in the wrong place. Romans 12. Romans 12, 3. Romans 12, 3. Watch what it says. For I say through the grace given unto me, this Paul talking to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not that you ain't supposed to think highly. Not to think more highly than he ought to think. Right? But to think soberly. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In the Greek, that word measure simply means part or a piece of something. For instance, if you're cooking or you see a recipe that says you want three parts of this or two parts of that, or you put it together and you have. So God has dealt to every man what? Key word here. See, I want you. So when you read the word of God, this is what you're going to learn in Living by the. Y'all take Living by the Book this year?
Yes.
I take it with Dr. Montreal.
Yes.
He's going to teach in that class how to break the word of God down, how you can't just gloss over the word of God. You have to sometimes take your time and read it and put emphasis on certain words so that you can get the meaning out of it. So it says the measure of faith, not a measure, the measure, meaning a very specific. That's backed up by Habakkuk 2 and 4. The just shall live by
his faith.
So therefore, that means that God has dealt to every man their part of the faith. So now we got to redefine faith. Faith has to mean more than something than me just believing and receiving. It got to mean more than me just acting on the word of God to get what I want. Right?
Right.
Because if God dealt to every man the measure or their part, the. So now when I make it personal, my part or their part, your part of the faith. So I never forget, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me very clearly. And when I tell you this word, you're going to be able to fit this word every time you see the word faith and your faith, and it's going to change. All right. You ready? Replace the word faith with assignment. So let's read this again. According as God has dealt to every man their measure of assignment or their part of the assignment. So now it becomes specific. It's not no longer me floating through life using the word of God to try to attain what I want. It's me using the word of God to let it define me as to who I am so that I can accomplish what God wants. So let's go to your favorite faith scripture, Hebrews 11 and 1. So now we see how, okay, so the just shall live by his assignment, right? The just shall carry out that process of life by their assignment, right? Assignment, let's look at assignment, my interrelated directions from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, my instructions that the Holy Spirit gives me that I am to act out. Because really, faith has a non-spiritual definition that most people don't really know what faith is. Faith is just you acting out your thoughts. That's what faith is. Faith is acting out your thoughts. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. The thoughts that you act out, make sure they come from God. Because you can have faith and the thoughts don't come from God. Jesus said, make sure, that's why he can curse the fig tree. Because he acted out his thoughts from God. He didn't curse that fig tree on his own. Do y'all know that the fig tree was, watch this. Here's the amazing thing about God. The fig tree had leaves on it. It wasn't supposed to. Because it was not time for figs. But any fruit tree that has leaves on it is supposed to have fruit.
Right.
So that gives an indication that God had already commanded that fig tree to produce fruit from his birth to produce fruit because God knew Jesus would be passing that way hungry. So when Jesus saw the tree with leaves but no figs, it was an indication to him that God had assigned that tree to do something and it didn't want to obey. So that's why he cursed the tree. He didn't pick that tree out of the blue. He cursed that tree because, watch this, it was in the way of his assignment. Are you seeing this? So Jesus didn't pick that tree out the blue. See, here's the one thing. God must become your source. Because Jesus was going to do what God wanted him to do from one city to another. And he was hungry. God knew he was hungry. God took care of it. The tree didn't want to obey because the tree answered him.
Right.
Go read that. I don't have time to go to. The tree answered him. And so when Jesus cursed the tree and the disciples all excited, he said, no, have the thoughts that you're going to act out in life come from God. When they come from God, there's nothing that can stand in the way of your assignment. Right. That's why you can say to this mountain.
Yeah.
Not all mountains. This mountain that's in my way from causing me going further to where God has assigned me to go. See, we can't be talking to everybody else's mountain. I don't have authority. I don't have authority in their kingdom. The mountains that's in my, I can speak to this mountain. See, Jesus, that's why Jesus was able to curse that fig tree. Jesus wasn't, he went in the ministry of cursing fig trees. That's the only fig tree I know he cursed. Because it was causing him to be hungry longer than he was supposed to be. Are you seeing this? All right, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? So now let's break this down. Now, this is our favorite faith scripture, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So watch this. Now my assignment is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So now here's the question we got to ask ourselves. Whose hope is Hebrews 11:1 talking about? It's a good question. Because from our self-centric perspective we've been having, whose hope is it supposed to be talking about? You think it's talking about? Mine, right? Right? No, it's not. Look, I told you, listen. When I'm messing with your denomination or your religion, you're gonna be wrong. So that's not the problem, okay? That's the problem because you have to know what. Sometimes you have to learn where you're wrong at before you learn where you're going the right direction, right? So is there no problem if you? I'm looking for that answer. So we all thinking that's talking about our hope, right? We go to Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without, watch this, without my assignment. How can I please God and I don't know what he wants? So if my faith, according to my denomination, the way I've been taught, and according to my religion, how I've been taught, if my faith only brings to existence what I want, what if what I want don't line up with what he wants? So if my faith or my assignment is to please him, but without faith, without my assignment, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So now if my faith supposed to please God, and it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So with faith, it's possible for me to please God, right? So now we go back to the first verse. And we see that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That hope has shifted. Yes, here's what hope is. Let's define hope. Hope is nothing more than a future goal, some plans, some dreams, something future, right? Yes, some goals, right? Yes, so it says now faith is the substance, the makeup, the stuff of things hoped for. So My assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. My faith or my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. I want that to sink in. I want that to sink in because a lot of times we thinking that our faith was just about us. But in your faith is not about you. Your faith is about bringing God's dreams to pass. There's some things that's not going to happen in the earth realm until you do what God is asking you to do.
That's right.
So this is why I have to understand covenant. Because I got to be willing to do what I got to do regardless of what everybody else is going to do.
That's right.
It's making sense.
Yes, sir.
So my, watch this, my assignment brings to reality the dreams of God. I want that to sink in. Because now it shifts your faith from being self-centric to being God-centric. Go back to Hebrew, go to the sixth verse. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, please God, right? I'm going to the sixth verse. I got to show you something else in the first verse. Go back to the first verse, because I don't want to leave you out. Because what happens is, because we don't understand covenant, because we don't understand the difference between being God-centric and self-centric, because we're so focused on self that we've taught faith to be about self. Instead of teaching faith to be about him, about God and what he wants. So that's how we get the name and then claim it. Now. I will tell you this. Your faith can produce what you want. But the objective of your faith is not to produce what you want. See, that's not your faith's objective. Getting what you want is a byproduct.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Because watch this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Or my assignment brings the reality, the dreams of God. And it gives me hints about stuff I desire.
Right.
Things that are not seen.
Yes, sir.
So watch this. If God speaks to me, I could be assured that what I desire is coming.
Yes.
Right.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
See, so the main thing is not trying to see the thing I want. The main thing is hearing the voice of God.
Right.
If I can hear the voice of God, then I am assured. See, covenant. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you what? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye
first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's going
to
happen? Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews. So that's why Hebrews 11:1 says it's the evidence of things not seen. When I know what God is asking me to do, when God gives me an assignment, when God gives me instructions, I act on those thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Then I am assured that God is going to give me what I want.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Now, here's the problem we've been having with religion and denomination. Here's the issue. God will give you your desires when you obey his word.
Yes,
right?
Right.
But the reason why we've been getting stuff when we obey his word is because we went a long time not knowing we can desire anything.
That's right.
So God hadn't reneged on what he said.
Right.
He'd been giving us what we've been desiring, which was nothing.
Come on, sir.
Is this making sense? I am of the simple school syndrome. Other words, don't make it complicated. Make it simple, because you know I ain't got time for this complicated stuff. I need to be able to wake up in the morning, hear the voice of God, and go about my business.
Right,
I don't need 16 steps that I got to go through. Go, you know, I'm just in love with God. I just want to do what God is asking me to do, and everything else will take care of itself. It is making sense. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is the point. This is key. And his righteousness. We've been taught, I told you I'm going to mess with religion. We've been taught that that righteousness is just a position, right? It's a position. I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. But that position, we're positioned to have the ability to do things God's right way. I can't just stick with just the position. I have to understand that I'm in a position that I can do things as God would do it if he was here. So that's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Turn to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It didn't say seek ye first the kingdom of God. I hope you're keeping up, internet. Not just seek ye first the kingdom of God, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? And it says all these things should be added unto you. Right? Now, seek first. Early. Will I seek you? Mm-hmm. Other words, not so much, not just early in the morning, but early in the situation. I won't try a bunch of whole other things, a whole bunch of other stuff. Then when those things don't work, now I'm coming back to God. See, I trust God and who he is so much that I'm not even relying on nothing else. I'm not relying on myself. I'm not relying on any connections I got. Not relying on any other relationship. It's just me and God. Now, if God want to use other connections and other relationships, then I will follow him. But when I run into a situation, my first objective is God. God, what you want to do? How are we going to handle this? Because I'm seeking him
first.
Yes, sir.
Right? And his righteousness, seeking God first and his right way to do things.
Yes.
What that mean, righteousness, the right way to do things? Here, example. We all know it's right to give, right?
Yes, sir.
But if the Holy Spirit tells you to give $100, you give
$50.
That's not righteousness. That's just right. Because it's good to give, but you ain't doing his way right. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what?
Added
to you. Go to the 32nd verse. Here's what I love about God. Here's what I love about him. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, right? But your heavenly Father, let's see, break this down. See, you got to break your heavenly Father knows that ye have
need
of all these things. Question, what things? What things? See, this is what we're going through this. We're going to take our time to go through this. What things? Who's seeking them? But the Father knows we have need of all these
things.
What things? What the Gentiles seeking? What the Gentiles seeking? See, they're not seeking the nine gifts. They're not seeking prophecy. They're not seeking word of knowledge. They're not seeking praying in tongues. They're not seeking interpretation. Not discerning the spirit. They ain't seeking it. They don't know they need to look for that stuff. That's what we're here for, to tell them they need this stuff. They're not looking for those things. They're looking for houses, cars, good relationship, money, vacations, whatever good that you that's what they're going after. But the first word in 33 is very important.
But.
Other words, forget all what I just said in the 32nd verse. Forget all that in the 32nd verse. Seek me first and my ways of doing things, and I'm going to add all these things that was referenced in the 32nd verse to you. So now my faith ain't about me getting what I want. My faith is about me fulfilling the dreams of God.
Yes, sir.
Doing what he asked me to do. And when I, and because I'm doing what he asked me to do, I become valuable to God. So when I become valuable to God, he wants to make my life easier here on earth. So I start attaining things that other people attain through much work and much effort. I don't attain them the same way. Because now a certain thing called grace kicks in. Because I've operated in the grace of God on his behalf, God now has allowed a grace to kick back and operate on my behalf. So it empowers me to live on a level financially that I couldn't live on my own. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich through because of the grace that was on his life.
Yes, sir.
Now we can have that grace walk. See, living, what happens is we come to church on Sunday mornings. What a lot of people say on Sunday morning, they go to church. I'm coming to get my word.
Yeah.
That's self-centric.
Yeah.
I'm coming to get my word. Yeah. I'm here to God. I'm going to see how the God going to deal with my situation.
Right.
Am I making sense? Hey, God, I'm coming here. God, I'm coming this morning. Lord, blah, 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 blah. I'm coming, getting my word. I'm dealing with God. I'm coming, getting my word. So now when you think like that, then your focus is only on you. So only you can expand. But when you come to say, God, I'm coming just to hear your voice. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, whatever instruction you have, I want to hear your voice. So now God expands in your life. See, God is always big. It's just we don't see him big. See, God is always big. It's just we don't see him big because of our perception, because of how our thinking. Are you seeing? So we have to get out of this self-centric mode and get into a God-centric mode. See, without covenant, without understanding covenant, without understanding covenant, it's going to be hard to do this because covenant requires you to be selfless.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, that's a funny crucifixion because most crucifixions I know, people die.
Yes, sir.
But he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ. And the life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith. Oh. So because Jesus did what he did, I'm able to do what I'm called to do. Are you seeing this? I told you everywhere you use the word faith, everywhere you see the word faith, you can replace it with assignment. You can replace it with the word of I'm telling you. And it's going to become clear to you. So now your faith is just not about you getting what you want. It's about you carrying out the thoughts of God, what he wants. Because our faith acted upon pleases God. And when we please God, he becomes a rewarder.
Mm-hmm.
For those that diligently what?
Seek him.
Diligently seek him. So my every move. So now, watch this. You want to shift the atmosphere on your job.
Yes.
You want to shift the atmosphere.
Yes.
You could be in a hellhole right now, dealing with hellion people that you don't like dealing with. You want to shift the atmosphere.
Yes.
You know, there's shifting the atmosphere. You want to shift the atmosphere.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, get up and say, God, why do you have me?
Yep. Oh my.
Some of y'all that just for the paycheck.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir. That's good, sir. Come on.
God, why do you have me here? Because some of y'all think that the job you in or the place you at is because of something you done, so you got this job. It ain't the best job, but you got this job because maybe some sin I got in my past life, whatever. Or I'm just got a bad raw deal. No. You just hadn't taken the time to ask God, why am I here? Why I'm on this job? God, why am I here? See, one of the things, and I'm closing here. One of the things you got to learn about the apostolic is an apostle carries a grace from God to structure heaven to earth government that opens the portals of the supernatural so that we can receive, right? So when I, watch this, when I connect to an apostle, I now become apostolic, right? When I become apostolic, then that means where my soles and my feet walk become apostolic territory. So now I'm now what Satan have meant for me to be on this job for another reason. When I realize that I'm connected to an apostle and I'm apostolic, the whole purpose shifts to why God wants me here. So now God begins to give me ideas, give me wisdom on what to do in this job so that I can be seen by those that are in darkness. Real quick, and I'm gonna stop here. Here's one of the fallacies that we as Christians misunderstand about God and Eden. One of the misunderstandings that we have with God and Eden. We always trying to look for Eden. Eden in our minds, that place of utopia. That place where nothing goes wrong. Everything is okay. Right? But Eden, when Adam and Eve was in Eden, it was only a training ground. See, once again, I'm messing up with your religion. I'm messing up your denomination. Eden did not cover the whole earth. It only covered a section of the earth. And it was training ground. See, this is why we have so much trouble in the school system, because school system is a training ground, right? And so when you go to school, you're going to school to learn. So if the person is acting up beside me on the right and acting up on the left side, I can't hear the teacher because I get jokes and I'm really laughing at them. And I don't pay attention to nothing they're saying. It's hard for me to get trained. So the reason why God created Eden is because he wanted to train Adam and Eve in a non-confrontational environment. Because he was going to release them into the outer darkness so that they can duplicate what they learned in Eden out there. They were supposed to do what God had done in Eden. Because we're made in his
image.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
But because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, they got expelled to the outer darkness before they finished learning the lesson.
That's right.
So here's what I'm saying. You were created and built to face darkness. See, we as Christians, we try to run away from darkness. But if I'm the light, if I'm the light, then I got to go find darkness so that light can be seen. So your workplace might be a place of darkness, but you have to be
the light.
And watch this. The light doesn't mean running your mouth about Jesus. The light is seen. Light is not heard. Light is seen. And everything is attracted to light. So if you want to shift, I'm closing. If you want to shift the atmosphere on your job, if you want, listen to that, Internet, if you want to shift the atmosphere, change your focus from your job just being about you getting a pay, trying to cover your expenses, to now you seeing it as your mission field. God, why do you have me here? God, what am I here for? So now, and watch, you're going to see that your performance becomes better. Because see, man, I told you I like to keep it simple. Luke 16 simply says, he that is not faithful in that which is another man, who that can give you that which is your own?
Right.
So if I cannot be faithful in what is somebody else's, how is God going to cause me to have my own?
Right.
Because, watch this, the Bible also said, Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that's he they also reap. So if you was a bad employee, then when you gonna try to start your business, you're going to attract
bad employees.
Come on, sir.
That's all I want to preach. You got to understand this. Preachers want people to come to their church. They want them to give. They want them to follow directions. They want them to be an authority. They want to yield to authority. They want to yield to this. They want to do this. But my question to the pastor is, what did you do?
Yep.
or what are you doing?
Right.
Because if I ain't sowing yielding, I'm not going to reap yielding. If I ain't sowing no money, then I can't turn around and expect the people to give.
Come on, sir.
Because God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Y'all have a good night.